Insight on Business the NewsHour is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, helping you turn human resources into a profit zone rather than an expense. FocusandFind.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business. Grateful you're listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. With me is Erin Hochman. She is the Chief External Affairs Officer for the Des Moines Area Regional Transit Authority, commonly and lovingly referred to as DART, D-A-R-T. And the reason Erin is with me is they are facing some significant funding issues for transportation of some of our community's most vulnerable people. And so we're going to dive into this a little bit, find out what the genesis of the funding issue is and what might happen so that you who are listening to this, might take part in a community roundtable in several places to give your impressions of what DART should do. Erin, welcome to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you're here.
Thank you, Michael. It's wonderful to join you this morning.
You and I met when it was hot, much warmer. It was during the state fair, and you, along with other officers for DART, were manning the transportation area that takes people from the state capitol down to the fairgrounds. That was warm.
It's usually warm in August during the Iowa State Fair, yes.
It's a great time.
We have fun.
And, you know, that whole service is just amazing. And one of the services that I understand, according to the pressers, that could be curtailed because of this funding issue. So let's start at the very beginning. Where do funds come from to run the transportation agency here in Des Moines?
Well, I think it's important first to note that all public transit systems in Iowa and throughout the country receive local funding in the form of taxpayer dollars. Here in Iowa, public transit is funded through property taxes. That is the mechanism the Iowa legislature has authorized for funding public transit. There are other mechanisms used throughout the country, and so you know, we're going to be talking more about funding challenges, but really the root of the funding challenge is the fact that we are funded through property taxes. And so many other services are also funded through property taxes.
And one of the things that, from what I've understood from the presser and from the other issues, is that the largest utilization of DART services is the city of Des Moines. And the city of Des Moines has reached their property tax cap. Would that be accurate?
That is accurate, yes. The legislature has set a cap of 95 cents per 1,000 in property tax valuation. And so that is the maximum levy rate the DART Board of Commissioners can set for any community that participates in the regional public transit system.
And how many communities do participate?
There are 12 communities. So many of the communities throughout Polk County, that's really primarily the service area that we cover.
One of the things that is so disheartening about potential cuts to service is the amount of people within whatever community it happens to be that rely on transportation through the bus service to get to their jobs. And many are traveling quite a distance. Maybe they're a server in West Des Moines or in Clive or some other western suburb or eastern suburb, and they rely on this service to get there. Plus, we have individuals who are elderly that utilize the various services, on-time services, other things that are, you know, if service cuts are there, this is going to really debilitate people's ability to get around, yeah?
Certainly. You know, what we're looking at is the potential for up to a 40% cut in bus service, and that would be very significant for the individuals who use DART. And we know that, you know, a majority of the people who use DART do not have a working vehicle in their house. They may not have a valid driver's license. And so DART is their primary means of transportation. And as you noted, the number one reason people use DART in central Iowa is to get to work. And so a reduction in bus service could really impact an individual's ability to continue to get to work and earn that income for their family.
Talking about increased funding, the state of Iowa is currently sitting on $1.8, $1.9 billion in reserves. Is there any way to ask the legislature for, you know, some help there?
So we have been working with state lawmakers for several years, really talking about the need to diversify how we fund public transit in the state away from property taxes. Our goal long term is to reduce our reliance on property taxes. And in order to do that, we really need the state legislature to authorize other sources of revenue.
And what might those be?
What we see most commonly used throughout the country is a sales tax. But of course, there's a lot of different taxing mechanisms. And so part of that conversation we're having with state lawmakers is, here are all the variety of options. What is most palatable for us here in Iowa?
Sales tax tends to be a regressive tax, however, and individuals who are buying necessities in, at this time of increased inflation, that could be problematic for some folks who are now spending, and you and I both know this, they are spending anywhere from 40 to 55% on housing alone, let alone food on the table. So that begs the other question, if the legislature were to raise the cap, is that a possibility? But I will say, you know, the legislature is not very keen on any kind of taxation. As a matter of fact, they have cut taxes over the course of this legislative past couple of sessions and looking to do more of that. So that doesn't sound like it's going to be a viable alternative.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would say that is not a viable alternative. There is a lot of focus, both at the state as well as the local level, on reducing property taxes. And that's, you know, why funding public transit for a growing community with growing needs is a challenge, and why we're continuing to talk with lawmakers on other ways to fund the service.
Yeah, it's amazing. DART provides 3.2 million rides to people in central Iowa. That's a bunch of folks on the bus.
It is. That equates to 12,000 trips every weekday. And what most people don't realize is that on an annual basis, we provide more public transit trips in central Iowa than we do airport trips.
Yeah, it is just remarkable. Our guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Erin Hochman. She is the Chief External Affairs Officer for the Des Moines Area Regional Transit Authority, or DART. Okay, so we kind of touched on alternative funding mechanisms, a sales tax, perhaps raising the cap for property taxes, both of which are unlikely to happen in this legislative experience. What else is out there?
We did have some success with the legislature this year, as we've been educating and talking with lawmakers on the need to diversify revenue and the challenge with the property tax cap that the legislature has set. They recognize that, and so they did authorize the city of Des Moines to increase their franchise fee up to 2.5% to fund transit. So as we look at the future, there is an option, as we see here, at least for the short term, to continue to fund service at the current level.
Franchise fee means what?
A franchise fee is a tax on utility bills. And in the city of Des Moines, where this applies, it is specific to gas and electric utility bills.
And if that does happen, are you asking other cities to chip in as well?
So other cities are chipping in.
Right.
They don't have the option to increase the franchise fee like the city of Des Moines does. However, other communities still have capacity to increase their property tax levy rates. And so in this next fiscal year, our suburban member communities have committed to increasing taxes to fund, to maintain service in the suburban communities.
As you may know, I sit on the city council for the wonderful city of Windsor Heights. And this community of 5,200 people relies heavily on DART transportation. As a matter of fact, we have a major hub here in the community because we have Sam's Club, Walmart, now Aldi is in town. There's a huge Hy-Vee. And so people come from all over the city to come to this centrally located community. And I know that we just decreased property taxes in the city because it's politically expedient to do so, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, valuations of properties have gone sky high, which means it's a really a balancing act. Are you getting this from other communities as well?
Well, several years ago, the DART Commission made a change to the funding formula, which is essentially how they establish property tax levy rates for each community. And the way our new funding formula works is that we look at the total amount of property taxes DART needs to collect to fund our service, and then each community is essentially assigned a dollar amount that they owe, and that's how their levy rate is established. So as communities, you know, see valuation growth, that will actually drive down their DART levy rate. So the communities and the decisions the communities are making around how they grow and how much of that growth is captured in TIF is really what impacts the levy rate for each community.
And this is an impactful conversation to have because so many people, again, we've talked about it, rely on services from the bus community. What about other communities in Iowa? Cedar Rapids, for example, I imagine they are going through much the same issue.
So Iowa is unique in that we do have public transportation in all 99 counties. However, DART is the only regional transit system in the state. And so other transit systems throughout the state of Iowa, first in Cedar Rapids, for example, they operate as part of the city. So they're part of the municipal government there. And then in rural counties, there is a rural transit system that contracts with area counties to provide contracted trips on an as-needed basis.
And in rural communities, that's becoming even more of an issue because as communities shrink and counties shrink and there is a consolidation of schools and other things simply because of a lack of funding, you know, we're seeing some of that dissipate as well. Aaron Hochman, ladies and gentlemen, the Chief External Affairs Officer for the Des Moines Area Regional Transit Authority, is with us. So in a sense, this is a Des Moines-centric issue, a Polk County issue. But at the same time, the decisions that are made here affect so many people in the state's largest community. And about that, you're giving citizens an opportunity to weigh in on this. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, this is a critical time for DART, for public transit, for our community. As we look at our community's growth, our community's workforce needs, and the way we want to grow as a community and the type of opportunity we want to provide to residents, we really need to decide what we want the role of public transit to be as we make those decisions around our community. And so as we look at, you know, this one specific issue as far as levels of service and funding within the city of Des Moines, we are gathering public input to understand, you know, how a 40% reduction in bus service would impact our riders, how we should allocate, you know, our resources with the funding that we do have. But we also need to hear from people on, you know, the decision the city, Des Moines City Council, is considering to increase franchise fees to maintain service.
And you're giving the residents of Des Moines an opportunity to do that. From November 30th all the way through December 12th, there are public forums and places where people can go to air their grievances, if you will, ahead of Festivus, and but also learn more about the funding mechanisms. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. We will be holding 6 public meetings, many in person. There will be some virtual options as well, so people have an opportunity to really dig into this, learn more, and provide their feedback.
And providing feedback like that, will this push perhaps the Des Moines City Council to act?
We anticipate the Des Moines City Council will vote on the franchise fee in January. And so our role as DART staff is to really outline the options that exist and the impact of those options. And so this public input that we're gathering will really help us inform both the DART Board of Commissioners and the Des Moines City Council of what that impact on a reduction in bus service would be.
So one of the things about the franchise fee, and I think this is enlightening, because you say 2.5%. Well, what is 2.5%? Well, clearly, if you do the math, if you have a $100 utility bill, that's an extra $2.50, right? So correct. If your water bill is $50, it's going to be significantly lower. What? $1.50. And so you know, this isn't a lot of money, but is it enough to carry DART forward?
It is. For, you know, what we would say as the next 5 to 7 years, it would allow us to maintain the current level of service in the city of Des Moines. It wouldn't entirely replace the property tax levy. Right. So the city of Des Moines would continue to contribute property taxes as they do today. However, for the first few years, the franchise fee revenue would allow them to reduce their property tax levy rate. So there would be the benefit of some property tax relief. And one of the important differences between property taxes and franchise fees is who is paying. Because in the city of Des Moines in particular, 40% of properties are property tax exempt.
So, correct.
Yep. They're nonprofits, they're government entities, they don't pay property taxes. But they would contribute to DART through franchise fee revenue. So it does broaden the number of organizations and properties that are helping contribute to public transit.
Here's the tough questions. Ready? And I know that nobody likes to talk about this, but if this doesn't happen, or if it's a lower number than what you're expecting, other than cutting services by 40%, up to 40%, are there, and this is not good for morale, but staff cuts, cuts in salaries?
You know, that is part of the overall. You know, there's both the service and the administrative portion of it. The most significant factor for DART in terms of our operating budget and operating cost is the cost of the operator driving the bus. And so, you know, we have worked so hard over the last several years to ensure our service is as efficient and effective as possible. Our service is extremely tailored now to where the ridership demand is. And so there's not a lot of other options other than reducing service.
If we
do need to reduce service by 40%, it will have ripple effects throughout the rest of the organization.
And we're talking about businesses, not only individuals that ride the bus, for crying out loud, for necessities, but also impacting business. I mean, we're having a horrible time finding workers as it is, and if you cut out their transportation mechanism, that's even going to impact that level as well.
There would be a lot of impacts of a reduction in bus service. You know, we know that our region's population has grown double digits in the last decade, and DART service has not grown because of the funding constraints that we are working with. And so there are already unmet needs in the region for public transit in areas that we are unable to serve.
All of these citizen input meetings that you're planning over the next month, are those times and dates available on the DART website?
Yes, we have a lot of information on the DART website. If you visit ridedart.com, you can learn more about how DART is funded, what the current funding challenge is, and how to participate. Even if you can't attend a public meeting, there's a lot of information on our website. You can read and complete an online survey to provide your input that way as well.
Final question for you, Aaron, and I certainly do appreciate this early morning meeting. talk to us a little bit about the future. I mean, DART has been very out front doing a lot of cool things, Wi-Fi on the buses, expanded ridership, various shelters that are out there for people. And that's one of the things that is really disheartening is when an Iowa winter comes by and folks are having to stand out by a bus stop. That's pretty yucky. But it's all costs. It costs money, yeah?
Yes.
So what do you see for the future? So let's say that all of this goes swimmingly well and DART is fully funded and we can move forward for the next 5 to 6 years. What's next?
Despite the funding challenges, it is an exciting time to be in the public transit industry because with advances in technology, there are just so many more ways to help people get where they need to go and ways to make that a really great experience. So I see just a lot of opportunity with full funding to be able to continue to improve and enhance service that really contributes to the growth and vibrancy of all of our communities here in Central Iowa.
I just lied to you. I said final question, but I do have a follow-up to that. As you look on the public transit system nationwide, how much do you borrow or utilize ideas from other communities?
You know, that's one of the things I love about the public transit industry is we get to share information across, you know, organizations and borrow ideas. There's a lot of great knowledge sharing that occurs within the industry that we all really benefit from.
Erin Hochman, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest. She is the Chief External Affairs Officer for the Des Moines Area Regional Transit Authority, lovingly known as DART. Their website is ridedart.com, and we will have links to all of this up on the radio blog. Erin, thanks so very much for spending so much time with us. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Michael.
That, once again, is the voice of Erin Hochman. She is with the Des Moines Area Rapid Transit, lovingly, as we said, called DART. You can find out more about those citizen inputs and everything about funding issues on their website, ridedart.com. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Aaron Hochman, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe. Be well. Be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.